Scripture quotations are from the Lexham English Bible, copyright 2012 Logos Bible Software. Lexham is a registered trademark of Logos Bible Software. Welcome to day one of week 49 of the daily Bible reading. Today we're in Esther chapters 7 through 10 and Revelation chapter 3. But before we begin, let's say a prayer. Our Holy Father, we thank you that you've given us this day that we can worship you by prayer, by our actions, by reading your word. We pray that we would read it in a worshipful way, that we would think about who you are, that you are the one who provides all good things, that we are poor, naked, and blind without what you and your Son has to offer. We pray, Father, that you'll help us as we read today, that we'll get good things from it that we can use in our life, that we would change our thinking, that we would change our lives based on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's begin the reading in Esther chapter 7. So the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther. And the king again said to Esther on the second day while they were drinking, "What is your petition, Queen Esther? It will be given to you. What is your request? It will be given to you, even half the kingdom." Then Queen Esther answered, and she said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, O king, and if it is good to the king, let my life be given to me at my petition, and my people at my request. I and my people have been sold to be destroyed and killed, to be annihilated. If we had been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet, because this is not a need sufficient to trouble the king." And King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther, "Who is he, and where is he, who gave himself the right to do this?" And Esther said, "The adversary and enemy is this evil Haman." And Haman was terrified before the king and queen. The king rose in his anger from the banquet and went to the palace garden, and Haman stood to beg for his life from Queen Esther, for he realized that the king was determined to make an end to his life. And the king returned from the palace garden to the banquet hall, where Haman was lying prostrate on the couch that Esther was on. And the king said, "Will he also molest the queen with me in the house?" As the words went from the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Hebrona, one of the eunuchs in the presence of the king, said, "Look, the same gallows that Haman had prepared for Mordecai, who spoke good for the sake of the king, stands at Haman's house 50 cubits high." And the king said, "Hang him on it." And they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai, and the anger of the king was abated. Chapter 8. On that day King Ahasuerus gave Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was to her. And the king removed his signet ring that he had taken away from Haman, and he gave it to Mordecai. So Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther again spoke before the king, and she fell before his feet and wept, pleading for his grace to avert Haman the Agagite's evil plan and the plot that he devised against the Jews. And the king held out to Esther the scepter of gold, and Esther rose and stood before the king, and she said, "If it is good to the king, and if I have found favor before him, and if the king is pleased with this matter, and I have his approval, let an edict be written to revoke the letters of the plans of Haman son of Hammedatha the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews that are in all the provinces of the king. For how can I bear to look on the disaster that will find my people, and how can I bear to look on the destruction of my family?" And King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther and to Mordecai the Jew, "Look, I have given Haman's house to Esther, and they have hanged him on the gallows because he plotted against the Jews. Write as you see fit concerning the Jews in the name of the king, and seal it with the king's signet ring. For a decree that is written in the name of the king and sealed with the king's signet ring cannot be revoked." And the secretaries of the king were summoned at that time in the third month, which is in the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day, and an edict was written according to all that Mordecai commanded to the Jews and to the governors and the satraps and officials of the provinces from India to Cush, 127 provinces, each province according to its own script and to every people in their own language and to the Jews in their own script and language. And he wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus, and he sealed the letters with the king's signet ring, and sent them by couriers on horses, riding on royal horses bred by racing mares. In them the king allowed the Jews who were in every city to assemble and defend their lives, to destroy and kill and annihilate any army of any people or province attacking them, including women and children, and to plunder their spoil, in one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. A copy of the edict was to be given as law in each province to inform all the people, so that the Jews would be ready on that day to avenge themselves from their enemies. The mounted couriers on the royal horses went out without delay, urged by the king's word. The law was given in the citadel of Susa. Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal clothing of blue cloth and white linen, and a great crown of gold and a robe of fine white linen and purple, and the city of Susa was shouting and rejoicing. For the Jews there was light and gladness, joy and honor. In every province and city, wherever the king's edict and his law came, there was gladness and joy for the Jews, a banquet and a holiday, and many of the people from the country were posing as Jews because the fear of the Jews had fallen on them. Chapter 9. In the 12th month, that is, the month of Adar, on the 13th day on which the edict of the king arrived and his law was enacted, on the day in which the enemies of the Jews had hoped to gain power over them, but was overturned, and the Jews gained power against their enemies, the Jews gathered in their cities in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to strike against those who sought their destruction, and no one could withstand them as the fear of them fell on all the people. All the officials of the provinces, the satraps, governors, and those who did the work of the king were supporting the Jews, because the fear of Mordecai had fallen on them. For Mordecai was high-ranking in the king's palace, and his fame spread throughout all the provinces as Mordecai grew more and more powerful. The Jews struck down all their enemies with the sword, killing and destroying them, and they did as they pleased with those that hated them. In the citadel of Susa, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men, and Parshandatha, Dalphon, Aspatha, Portha, Adaliah, Eridatha, Parmashta, Erisai, Eridai, and Vizatha, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews. But they did not touch the plunder. On that day, the number of those being killed in the citadel of Susa was reported to the king, and the king said to Queen Esther, "In the citadel of Susa, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men, and the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? What is your petition? It will be granted to you. And what further is your request? It will be done." Esther replied, "If it is good to the king, let tomorrow also be granted to the Jews who are in Susa to do according to the edict of today, and let them hang Haman's 10 sons on the gallows." And the king said to do so. And a decree was issued in Susa, and Haman's 10 sons were hanged. And the Jews were gathered who were in Susa, and on the 14th day of the month of Adar, they killed in Susa 300 men, but they did not touch the plunder. The rest of the Jews who were in the king's provinces gathered and defended their lives and found repose from their enemies. And they killed 75,000 of those who hated them, but they did not touch the plunder. This was on the 13th day of the month of Adar. They rested on the 14th day and made it a day of feasting and joy. But the Jews who were in Susa gathered on the 13th and on the 14th day and rested on the 15th day, and they made it a day of feasting and joy. Therefore, the Jews in the rural areas, living in the rural towns, made the 14th month of Adar a day of joy and feasting, a festive day of giving gifts to each other. Mordecai wrote down these things, and he sent letters to all the Jews who were in all of the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, to impose on them to keep the 14th day of the month of Adar and the 15th day, every year, as the day that the Jews found relief from their enemies, and the month which changed for them from sorrow to joy, and from a mourning ceremony to a festive day, to make them days of feasting and joy, and giving gifts to each other and to the poor. And the Jews adopted what they had begun to do, and what Mordecai had written to them. For Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to destroy them, and he had cast Pur, that is, the lot, to rout them out and destroy them. But when it came to the attention of the king, he gave orders in writing that his evil plot that he had devised against the Jews should return on his head, and they hung him and his sons on the gallows. Therefore they called these days Purim, because of the name Pur.
Thus, because of all the words of this letter, and of what they faced concerning this, and of what had happened to them, the Jews established and adopted it for themselves, and for their offspring, and for all who joined them. They did not neglect to observe these 2 days every year, as it was written and appointed to them. These days are to be remembered, and are to be kept in every generation, and in family, province, and city. And these days of Purim are not to be neglected among the Jews, and their memory shall not come to an end among their offspring. So Queen Esther, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew, wrote in full authority to confirm this second letter of Purim. He sent letters of words of peace and truth to all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of Ahasuerus' kingdom, to establish these days of Purim at their appointed times, just as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther had imposed, and just as they had imposed on themselves and their offspring regulations of the fast and their lament. And the command of Esther established these practices of Purim, and it was written on the scroll. Chapter 10. King Ahasuerus imposed forced labor on the land and islands of the sea. All the work of his authority and his powerful deeds, and the full accounting of the greatness of Mordecai, to which the king advanced him, are they not written on the scroll of the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was second in command to King Ahasuerus. He was great for the Jews and popular with many of his brothers, for he sought good for his people, interceding for the welfare of all his descendants. Now let's read Revelation chapter 3. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, "This is what the one who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, and you are dead. Be on the alert, and strengthen the remaining things that are about to die, for I have not found your works completed before my God. Therefore remember how you have received and heard, and observe it, and repent. If therefore you are not on the alert, I will come like a thief, and you will never know at what hour I will come against you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not defiled their clothing, and they will walk with me in white, because they are worthy. The one who conquers in this way will be dressed in white clothing, and I will never erase his name from the book of life, and I will declare his name before my Father and before his angels. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, This is what the Holy One, the True One, the one who has the key of David, the one who opens and no one can shut, and who shuts and no one can open, says, I know your works. Behold, I have put before you an opened door that no one is able to shut, that you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and did not deny my name. Behold, I am causing those of the synagogue of Satan, the ones who call themselves Jews and are not, but are lying, behold, I will make them come and kneel down before your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Because you have kept the word of my patient endurance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing that is about to come upon the whole inhabited world, to put to the test those who live on the earth. I am coming quickly. Hold fast of what you have, so that no one may take away your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will never go outside again. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven, from my God, and my new name. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, This is what the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the originator of God's creation, says. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot. Thus, because you are lukewarm, and neither hot nor cold, I am about to vomit you out of my mouth. Because you are saying, I am rich, and have become rich, and I have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, and pitiable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, in order that you may become rich, and white clothing, in order that you may be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and eye salve to smear on your eyes, in order that you may see. As many as I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, indeed I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also have conquered and have sat down with my Father on his throne. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And that's the reading for today. Until next time, keep meditating on the Word of God.